Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace to you and peace from Jesus the Christ, who calls us outward, who sends us always into new territories and new adventures, new missions and new tasks. Amen. How exciting it is to be here with you at last. Feels a little strange being all the way back here. I think in time, I'll move out to get a little closer to you. I feel like I'm far away, but I'm still with you. And how exciting it is to be here with you at last. Amen. And yet, what an absolutely shocking and so terribly tragic series of events that have taken place, that have accompanied us in these transitional days and weeks. I couldn't have chosen a better scripture passage around which our first gathering together is taking place here. This lectionary text, these are always pre-chosen texts, as you all probably know well. This lectionary text from Mark 6 is just perfect for us, isn't it? As we think about trying to shake off the bad, as I was saying with the kids. This text is where the mission together begins in Mark's gospel. And I emphasize together. Jesus has been doing a lot of really great, powerful, incredible things up through the first couple chapters in Mark's gospel. But he's been really kind of going it alone, impressing us just on his own. This is the text where Jesus sends his disciples outward and sends them out together in pairs. It's where Jesus reminds us, too, that things might not always go well as we go about the work of spreading the gospel of God's grace and God's peace and God's healing. Things might not always go well. So I did the children's song, Shake It Off, just now. There's another song, Shake It Off, that older children tend to like by Taylor Swift. And our daughter, Katie, is a big fan of Taylor Swift. Actually, our whole family is. Her last album came out, and we're like, whoa, she really nailed it. Taylor Swift has this great song that has been out for a long time called Shake It Off. Maybe you've heard it before. I have a memory of, did Katie go on to Sunday school? All right, I'm going to embarrass her now. So when Katie was younger than 9 years old, she must have been about 4 years old. She loved that song. That's about the time the song came out. And I have a memory, just to kind of put an image in your head, of Katie getting us all to dance to that song when we really didn't want to. We'd get home at the end of a long day, would be kind of sunken into the couch and tired, and maybe the television would be on, and Katie would come over and go, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. And she would literally grab us and try to pull us up in our living room and get us to start dancing. Shake it off, shake it off. Now, despite all the things that were going on in our lives, Katie wasn't concerned about that. Katie wanted to pull us up and get us to start dancing and sing, Shake It Off, Shake It Off. It's a powerful image, I think, in this time. So much happening in our own, in our personal lives. So much happening in our nation and certainly in our world, in the news. And yet, Jesus comes over to us, like Katie did. Takes us by the hand, pulls us off, doesn't say forget about it all, but there is this sense of shake it off, and there is joy even in the midst of all the pain that's all around us. Jesus is calling us to shake it off in these challenging times. Shake it off. Shake off the dust from your feet when trouble comes your way. Shake off the death and the hatred and the fear that is all around. And keep on. Keep on in doing the work which I have called you to do, Jesus says. Keep on. Just because you've been met with violence, keep on. I think Jesus is saying to us here, as we begin a new relationship together, I think Jesus is saying to us too, just because you've been met with vandalism and violence and hatred, just because you have had your windows smashed in and your pew seats ripped up, hateful, horrific words written on your walls, Jesus says, Just because of all those things doesn't mean that you have done something wrong. Christ encourages us. We are Christ's modern day disciples, for better or worse. It's in fact the opposite. Jesus is saying to us, you are doing something right. Following me isn't that easy, Christ says. Following me and embracing the welcome, the love, the justice and peace that I desire for you and for this nation and for this whole world is going to bring with it always some serious pushback. So take a deep breath, shake it off, and then join hands, join hearts. I love that Jesus pairs them up. You're not in this alone. We're not going out there alone. Jesus pairs us up at least with one other, if not with whole communities, and whole communities joining hands together as out we go. Jesus tells us, shake it off, join hands, and now let's go. New friends in Christ, God is most definitely here with us. The Holy Spirit is swirling around even as we reel. God still got us, and Christ still sends us out. Now, I'm not saying anything here that I haven't seen you all here at Bethlehem already do. I have already been so moved and impressed and encouraged and inspired as I have watched. I mean, my entrance was really strange. I wasn't supposed to start till Monday and then came by the church those two Tuesdays ago, that terrible morning after the vandalism. And I was just so impressed and inspired at what I saw as you together responded to these recent and most terrible break-ins. First of all, I witnessed deep sorrow and pain, appropriately so. That was powerful. In a culture that often bottles up emotions and chokes back tears, tries not to show it, I've already seen here Christ himself weeping in your midst at those terrible words and all this terrible violence. In response to words of hate and harm, come your words of love and healing and tears. Tears of longing for a world where such violence will be no more. Mark's gospel here describes Jesus laying hands on those who were ill. Did you catch that? It's that laying on of hands that shows the compassion of Christ and at the very same time the pain of the cross. It's a powerful image to me, these horrible gashes in our seats. It's a symbol for me of the gashes of Christ, the wounds of Christ, and still we come and we touch the wounds of Christ, and then we are inspired to go out into the world and to touch the pain and the wounds of this world. As tears of longing and sorrow at what is filled this community, it was as if Christ himself was laying hands and healing the broken despite all the other things that were going on. I'm not sure if you saw that in this reading. It said Jesus could do no deed of power. He lost all power except to lay his hands on a few and to heal them. That's the tears. The tears at the world's violence. It's the laying on of Christ's very hands in healing. Our tears are certainly cathartic, but it's more than that. It is the breaking in of hope for a world as it should be, not choking back and settling for the world as it is. I've witnessed your deep sorrow and your deep pain already. And there's something else that I've seen already in this community of Bethlehem Lutheran Church. I've witnessed that you all show up despite it all. Christ calls us to be here for one another and for all the hurting in this world in these days. That terrible morning after the last break-in, I was amazed at how many of you just kept showing up. You just kept coming. I mean, I got there and there are already people here, and then it just felt like people just kept coming. And it was our first time in this space. I mean, my first time to show the kids this space. It was the first thing that they saw were these terrible words and all the broken glass everywhere. And people just kept showing up. I whispered it to my father-in-law, who was with us, and it was their first time to see the space too. He's a retired pastor, served a whole bunch of different congregations. And I remember I whispered to him that morning, I said, people just keep showing up. And my father-in-law, who's a great mentor for me, said, that's a sign of a strong church. This place is small but mighty. And that's precisely what Jesus needs in his disciples. Not brute force, not giant numbers, but mighty hearts and healing tears. Not burly arms and souped up arsenals, but simply and profoundly robust faith. And I've seen that already here. Faith that stands the test of time and terror. Faith that shows up. God is here among us as we show up to make our stand together against the evil and wrongdoing that is all around us. Jesus, he gives his disciples authority over the unclean spirits in verse 7 in this text. This is a radically welcoming community, but there is no place for hatred and violence here at Bethlehem. Christ gives us too, as we stand together in solidarity with all our brothers and sisters, both Lutheran and non, authority over the unclean spirits of our time and our community. That is to say, unclean spirits, you have no power over us. This is what we say together as community in Christ. You have no power over us, hatred and violence. You have no power and no place here. Back in seminary, you have to understand something. I had been a biology major before I went to seminary. So I was kind of fond of charts and graphs. So I think I brought a little bit of that with me into the seminary in Chicago. And we were studying the Gospel of Mark. And I thought it might be good to do a graph of the Gospel of Mark. So I charted the x-axis and the y-axis and the x-axis. And as we were studying the Gospel of Mark, I sort of threw my professor for a loop, I think, when I decided to call it the power potential of Jesus. And I charted Jesus' potential for power against the disciples' potential for power on an X and Y graph as we go through Mark time, you know, as we just read through the Gospel of Mark. Faithful Christians might have found my results surprising, as I had hypothesized, and as I believe the author of Mark actually intended to communicate. As time passes in the Gospel of Mark, as you read through the Gospel, this is interesting. If you're falling asleep, time to wake up a little bit, because I think this is fascinating. I know I'm going on a little longer here. It's my first time. I haven't preached for about a month and a half. But this is fascinating. As time passes in Mark, as you read through the Gospel, Jesus' power potential, if you will, declines. Jesus' power potential declines, and the disciples' power potential, on the other hand, increases as you read through the Gospel. So that at the end of the Gospel, the disciples are the powerful ones, and Jesus on the cross has emptied himself of everything. This text today is that critical turning point. I invite you to take your bulletin home, read through it again this week, study it a little bit, challenge my hypothesis, because it's just that. But this text today is this critical turning point where, in a foretaste of what happens on the cross, Jesus is actually emptying himself in order to fill up his disciples. In this text, it says Jesus could do no deed of power. And yet by the end of just our text today, we hear that his disciples, that ragtag gang of busy and burdened and broken bodies, is out there now healing and casting out demons and preaching the word of life and the word of love. This is what God does. God takes us As broken and as tired, in a moment we'll sing about a weary world, God takes us, fills us up, finds us even in our lowest points, especially in our lowest. Christ finds us, shows up in our weakness, in moments of sorrow and pain, and fills us with potential. Friends in Christ, as we look forward to the days and hopefully many years of life and ministry together here at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, know that Christ meets us in our most vulnerable times. These are things that preachers say all the time, but I think if you're feeling like, I mean, these words are really powerful right now. Christ meets us in our most vulnerable times. We feel that as a congregation already. As I've entered into this community, we feel vulnerable. Christ meets us especially at our lowest, at our most vulnerable, and then lifts us up, gives us the ability, us, the ability to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to share God's love through our words and especially through our deeds. This is good news. Good news of great joy. And this is our great news this day and forevermore, no matter what. So thanks be to God, who never leaves us, who made us for goodness, who made us to be together, who made us to go outward, and who shines brightly even and especially now. In Jesus' name, amen.